Himself is near me, with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares He vain would share and cheer me, He whose name is Counselor and Power. The protection of His child and treasure is a charge that on Himself He laid. As thy days, thy strength shall be in measure, this the pledge to me He made. Help me then in every tribulation, so to trust thy promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith's sweet consolation offered me within thy holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meeting, e'er to take as from a Father's hand, one by one, the days, the moments fleeting, till I reach the promised land.
Amen. Let's take our Bibles this morning. Please turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 this morning. We had a wonderful time at the Christian School Convention on Thursday and Friday, and I sent text messages to many of you Friday night, as many as I had numbers for, and let you know that they were live streaming. And I hope that you got on and enjoyed, and our school did very, very well. We were real proud of each and every one of them, and so many golds and silvers, I don't even know, I can't even count them all. But I'm going to ask all the young people tonight, we're going to put some tables out in the lobby. If you did some artwork or you brought some ribbons home or whatever, just lay them out there and let everybody kind of see, and that they encourage you a little bit. Especially, we'd like to see, there's some photography and things that went on, and so we'd like to see some of that you did. And it was a wonderful blessing, and everybody did very well. I was very proud of them. Very good attitudes in the sports. I'm glad to see that sportsmanship is important to Bethel Baptist Church. That was good, and I'm proud of you for that. And we had a very special award given, the Heart Award for Perseverance and Inspiration, and that went to Casey Fett this year. Even though she was not participating, the school, Pastor Wall felt it, that she was worthy of that award and inspiring, and with her testimony. So praise the Lord for that. It was an exciting time for our church and for Casey. And so I think you can probably still see that on Faithway's website if you're interested in watching the award ceremony. That'd be a blessing to you. But young people, bring your stuff tonight. We'd like to see it. Meriden got best student. Fantastic. Meriden Bennett. And she's not in here. She's in the junior church today or somewhere. She's helping somewhere. And got best student overall. It was neat to see, because they come back. They're like the Wonder Twins, you know. They'd come back down the aisle. They wouldn't even sit down. They'd have to go up for another gold medal. And then they'd come back and then another gold medal. So I said, you might as well just stay up there. Amen? Just grab the table of golds and bring it with you. But we're real proud of all our kids, and we really did very well this year. It was exciting. And I'm going to admit something to you. It's not about, the whole thing is not about winning. It's about doing your very best for the Lord. But I still like beating Faithway. I do. I don't know what it is. I still like beating Faithway. But anyway, our kids did a great job, and we're so proud of them. So come tonight and see some of those things. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Just a note for choir members, if you're in the evening choir only, our practice tonight will be at 5:25. We only have one song to practice just for the evening service. Mrs. Baker's not here. And so at 5:25, please join us for our choir practice. We'll just practice the one song. I just want to direct your attention to one verse. About 2 weeks ago, it'll be 2 weeks ago on Tuesday, my wife and I were returning from the Kretzmann funeral down in North Carolina. And we had just got to Buffalo, and we got off the airplane, and we'd stopped. It was about 6 o'clock, and we'd stopped to get something to eat. And my phone went off, and I didn't answer it because I was in the States. And I saw who it was, and I thought, well, in 10 minutes, we'll call back. And as soon as we get over the border, we'll call them back. And so we just got over the border, and Brendan called. And he says, Dad, he said, a friend of ours, a family friend of ours, Miss Winnie, called, and she's very upset. And I said, I see she called. I was just about to call her back. So we called her back, and we had learned that her 23-year-old grandson had died of a drug overdose that day. And immediately, the verse that popped into my mind was, the wages of sin is death. You know, we can't always say that somebody died because of sin. We don't always know that. We can't always see that. We had just come back from a funeral for a three-year-old, and I don't know what sin she might have committed that would have caused her death. And so we can't always say that. We can't always say that somebody, because they're suffering a terrible disease, that it's because of sin in their life. We can't say that. We are not their judge. We do not know. But when somebody's life is destroyed directly by sin, then we do know. And the Lord began to burden my heart, and I felt like last Sunday I should have preached the message, and it just did not come together for whatever reason. But all this week I've not been able to get away from the thought that the wages of sin is death. And I think sometimes we are too careful in calling sin sin, and we sugarcoat it, and we make it go down easier. And friends, I want to tell you, that does not do our young people any good whatsoever. If there's a fire, we shout fire. If there's a danger, we sound the warning bell. The Bible says in the book of Ezekiel that if the watchman does not cry out, then may their blood be upon his hands. I'm afraid that we have become soft as a society, and because we are calling sin good and good is sin, we have turned everything around and we've called evil good. Friends, we have blood on our hands for not sounding the alarm. But the Bible is still very clear today. The wages of sin is death. I'm glad the sentence doesn't end there, though, aren't you? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray together. Father, help us understand your word, and Lord, speak to our hearts today. Father, we pray that you would help us now to honor you and glorify your name. Father, help us to get this warning today. This is not my warning. This is the warning of Scripture. This is the warning of God. This is the warning of the Holy Spirit. There's another scripture that says that the end of the sin is death. For the wages of sin is death. Father, if we don't take anything else out of this room with us today, may the Holy Spirit impress upon our hearts and minds, in each one of our hearts, that the wages of sin is death. There's no variable there. There's no way to misinterpret that. Help us, Lord. Fill me with thy Holy Spirit. I pray that you'd help me as I speak what you've laid upon my heart. And Lord, I'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Several years ago, I was dumbfounded when I went to a funeral. I went to a funeral for a gentleman that had come to our church just a few times. He'd worked with a gentleman in our church, and the Lord must have just known that morning. The Lord did know, of course, but I didn't. And I preached a message on blind Bartimaeus. And Greg Rutherford walked the aisle at the end of the service, and he said, Pastor, he says, I don't know if you know this, but I am completely blind in one eye. And he says, that message just directly hit me. He says, I need to be saved. We at the altar, we dealt with Greg, and he accepted Christ as his Savior. And they came to church for another 6 or 7 months, and he and his wife were having troubles, and they ended up splitting up. And so out of embarrassment, he didn't come to church very much after that. And he got back into sin. And one night he got drunk, and he hit a bridge abutment doing about 140 kilometers an hour. They say he died instantly. He was hardly recognizable. His family were all Roman Catholics, and so I went to the funeral at this large funeral home, and there must have been 450 people there or so, and I sat right in the very back, and the priest got up, and he said, we're going to have some folks come and talk about Greg, and he says, if you would like to say something about Greg, you're more than welcome to come up to the microphone, and we're going to start with his friend here. And so I thought, well, you know, this is an opportunity. I'm going to go up, and I'm going to say, you know, because they already told us Greg was in heaven. Because he had been baptized as a baby. Because he had joined the Catholic Church. And because of all these things that he had done, rather than what Christ had done for him. So I was just going to simply go up and just say, you know, I believe Greg's in heaven. Because I remember one day when he bowed his knee before a holy God. And he repented of his sin. And he asked Jesus Christ to save him. And yes, he's made some mistakes. And those mistakes have led to his death. But he trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. But after the first guy got up, he began to talk about Greg, and every story he told said, well, I remember when Greg and I had a few too many, and some funny story happened after that. Then I remember when Greg had a few in him. I remember one time we were at this bar. I remember one time coming home from this party, and man, we were liquored up. We were hammered. And he just kept telling story out. And I thought, how foolish. The sin that took his life is now glorified in his death. What a bunch of fools. But the fool looks at sin and laughs and mocks. And I was just about, I thought, well, he's just about done. And I was about to get up. And the priest got up. And I don't know if the devil didn't want me to speak that day. And so he got up and he stopped it right there. He said, he just went on with the service without any letting. Maybe it was wisdom. He said, I don't want any more fools getting up and talking like that. I don't know what his motives were. But I thought, what a terrible thing to glorify death. The Christian says, O grave, where is thy sting? O death, where is thy victory? We're not to glorify sin. We're not to revel in sin. Sin is a shame in our life. And the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. I want you to notice just three words today. I think it'll be a help to us to study. Whenever I study for a message, I like to take apart the words and study them all. And I don't always bring that to the pulpit with me. Sometimes it's just for my understanding. But today I brought to the pulpit my study notes. And I just want to share with you those three words. The first word I want you to look at is the word wages. The word wages. Often if I'm talking with a child and trying to lead them to the Lord, I'll say, you know, the Bible says for the wages of sin is death. And wages are those things that your dad earns when he goes to work. He works a job all week, and so he gets a paycheck. That's what we call his wages. Well, I looked it up in the Greek, and the Greek has three different meanings for the word wages right here in this that is used in Romans 6:23. And the first definition is a soldier's pay. Now, that makes sense that Paul would use a word when he's in Rome that they would all understand. And the Romans, most all the men were soldiers. And so for him to say the wages of sin or a soldier's pay for sin is death, they'd understand that, wouldn't they? You know, a soldier's pay was one that, a salary that he had worked for and believes that he deserves. Now think about that. What Paul was saying to them, he's saying, you need to understand that the wages of sin is death. The wages is something you deserve. It is something that you have worked for. Can you imagine that? There's nobody in hell today that lifts up their eyes and says, I don't deserve what I got. As a matter of fact, as they replay, I don't know how it works down there, to be honest with you. I don't know if God allows them to keep those memories and their replays in their mind all of their sin. You see, for the Christian, the Bible says God shall wipe away all their tears. It doesn't say that about those in hell. And perhaps the memory of their sin replays over and over and over and over. And as they are burning in hell's fire and then they're cast into outer darkness, nobody can say it's not fair. As a matter of fact, they might come to the conclusion, I deserve this. I work towards this. The things that I did in my life, this is what it has brought me to. It has brought me to death. That is the wages. You know, nobody should be surprised when they're in hell. The Bible says, the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell. And being tormented in this flame, he never said it's unfair. He never said, I don't deserve this. He never said, I was a good person and I shouldn't be here. He said, please go and tell the others. I've got five brothers. Please go and tell them. They don't want to come to this terrible place. But not once did he cry unfair. The wages of sin is death. It's what we deserve. Now, I thought about this and I took it a step further. The Bible says we're all born in sin. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that doeth good. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means every man, woman, and child is worthy of hell. That's what we deserve. I'm not here to try to put you down. I'm not saying that I'm any better than anybody else. My sin is worthy of hell. I deserve hell. And some people might say, well, I just want what I deserve out of this life. No, you don't. Because the wages of sin is death. The second meaning of that word wages is not only is it a soldier's pay, it's an allowance. It can also mean the word allowance. You see, soldiers, when they would go off to fight battles, they wouldn't always be able to get their pay. Now, they didn't have paychecks back then, but I suppose they would set up a table and they'd divvy out their money. But they couldn't take great deals of money when they went out to the field, especially if they're gone for months at a time. And so what they would do is they'd give them an allowance, just a portion. Any of you kids get allowances? No? No, I didn't say no. Well, I can remember when I first got an allowance. Mom and Dad came in one day and they talked to us about having an allowance, and they were going to give us 50 cents a week. We thought we were rich. 50 cents back then would buy 5 popsicles at the Becker's in Port Dover. And then I saw the list. They put a list on the back of our door. Dad ended up having to install a larger door to get the list on for 50 cents a week. You know, I can remember going out in the summertime and working for my grandfather and picking potatoes and pulling weeds and picking corn and getting ready for market the next day and working all day in the heat. And it was, I mean, you'd come home with a sunburn and hot and muddy and tired, and I'd have $2 in my pocket to show for it. I thought I was rich. It was just an allowance, though. It was just a portion of what we really deserved. I'm actually suing my mother for back wages right now. But an allowance, that's the definition of an allowance, isn't it? An allowance is just a portion. It's just saying, I can't afford to pay you everything right now. I don't have it right now. I'll give you an allowance. I'll give you something to help you get by. We give children an allowance. But in the case of a soldier, it was very true. They were out on the field, and they would work day and night, and they would fight their battle, and they'd pay for it with their blood. And at the end of the week, they'd just get an allowance. And they might even, the quartermaster might even have to say to them, this is not everything you've earned. This is not all you deserve. This is just a little bit of what you deserve. Now think about that in our context this morning. The wages of sin is death. In other words, hellfire is just a little bit of what we deserve. Just an allowance. It's just a part. Now, you say, well, that seems pretty harsh, preacher. That's what the Bible says. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to add to the scriptures. I really believe that the Bible preaches a literal hell fire. And we've got away from that today. We're afraid of being called fundamentalists because that has a connotation to it today. But friends, we believe in the fundamentals of God's word. There is a real heaven. There's a real hell. And the wages of sin is death. And that little allowance that we get, just a token of it, is hellfire. Then there's one more definition of the word wages. Not only is it a soldier's pay, but all these have to do with a soldier. It's a soldier's allowance. Or there'd be times, maybe they're out on the field for 6 months or 7 months and a courier couldn't get their money to them like they should. Perhaps they got cut off and robbed on the battlefield somewhere on the way to the battlefield. And so there were some times where they wouldn't get pay at all. And this word wages literally means a soldier's pay. It means a soldier's allowance. But it also means food that is given in place of pay. In other words, we can't give you any money, but we'll feed you. We'll give you a ration. We'll give you a stipend. We'll give you something to get by. And so a soldier that has been away from home and perhaps far from any outposts, and he may not be paid until he's returning, but therefore he's not expecting, but at least he wants to be fed. He wants just a little bit. Now you're saying, what does this have to do with the wages of sin is death? It's like this. A soldier might be sitting around a campfire with his buddies one night, and the next day is payday. And he might nudge his buddy and he say, hey, do you think we're going to get paid tomorrow? And the buddy say, well, I really don't expect it. I've heard there's been a lot of fighting between here and Rome, and I can't imagine a courier got through with our pay, and I just don't know how they'd ever get here. Then they might say, well, do you think we'll get an allowance? Do you think maybe they'll just give us 10% of our pay so that we can have a little bit of spending money when we come into a town, we can get something, you know? And, well, I heard that the money they had laid aside for allowances was all used up last week. There's just not enough, and maybe some of the officers will get a little bit, but there's not enough for soldiers like us, and I just don't think, I just wouldn't expect it if I were you. Then he said, well, do you think we'll get fed? Oh, we have a right to expect to be fed. We can expect that. If nothing else, they have to feed us. I mean, what's the difference if we die of an arrow or we die of starvation? They have to feed us. We have a right to expect to be fed. We're soldiers. And that's exactly what it means here. You say, well, I really don't expect to be paid with hell for my sin. And I don't expect to even get a portion of hell for my sin. I don't need the allowance, but we do have a right to expect the meager portions. And so what I believe the author Paul was trying to say when he used this word is, yes, it is payment, yes, it's an allowance, and yes, you can expect it. You can expect it. Do you know what the shame is, friends? We have a lost and dying world headed to hell, and they don't expect it. They don't know what's around the corner. They haven't heard that the wages of sin is death. They haven't heard that there's a place called hell. There's eternal separation from God. We need to make sure that we are sounding the alarm. If you're in sin today, I want to tell you this, you can expect it. The wages of sin is death. The second word I want you to look at is that word death. For the wages of sin is death. That word death in the Greek literally means the death of the body. But underneath that, it means that separation, whether natural or violent, of the soul and the body by which the life on earth is ended, with the implied idea of future misery in hell. Future misery in hell. Now, I want you to think about this. When man was created and placed in the Garden of Eden, it was intended that he would never die. He was created to have fellowship with God. Now, that wouldn't be much fellowship for God if he died, would it? Because God is eternal. So when the death first came upon man, in Romans chapter 5, the Bible says, and by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. Death in the Bible always meant eternal separation from God. It did not mean the end of a physical existence. As a matter of fact, most times in the Bible where we talk about dying or our physical body stopping, the Bible uses the word sleep. But the word death always means separation from God. Eternity in hell. The day I was born into sin. And I began to die immediately. I began to count the days off. I was thinking the other day, how many days have we lived? Any idea? 40 times 365. Anybody figure that out real quick? That's a lot of days, isn't it? It's a long time. But every day is one step closer to death and separation from God. If Jesus Christ had not intervened, if God had not sent his only begotten Son to die upon a Roman cruel cross and pay that price of sin, he said, but wait a minute, does not death mean hell? The Bible says in Isaiah that God would not allow his Holy One to see corruption. Jesus Christ went into the depths of hell for 3 days and paid the price. And he came out and he led captivity captive and took the keys of death and hell. He paid the price for our sin. Jesus died so I don't have to. My body will eventually decay to the point where I will be laid in a grave if Christ tarries his coming. But I'll never have to see eternity in hell because Jesus Christ paid the price for my sin. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Here's another definition of the word death. The misery of the soul arising from sin, which begins on earth, but lasts and increases after the death of the body in hell. Now that took me back when I looked at that definition from the Greek of the New Testament. The misery of the soul arising from sin, which begins on earth. We're already dead if we're in sin. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, and you hath he quickened who were what? Dead in trespasses and sins. Sin has already killed you if you don't know Jesus Christ. I like that word quickened. It means made alive. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And then the Bible, I want you to look at one more word this morning. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift. I want you to look at that word gift with me this morning. That word gift means this, a favor with which one receives without any merit of his own. We didn't deserve it. It was a gift that was given. Gary's here. Gary loves to give gifts. They're not always real nice, but he likes to give gifts. One year, my wife's birthday, her birthday was on a Wednesday, and this was Sunday. And we were going away. Wednesday night after the service, we were taking off, and we were going just to Rochester, New York. We had a missionary friend in town, and we were just going to spend Thursday with him and come home Thursday night. And so I was talking to her Sunday morning. I said, "Hon, what do you want for your birthday this year?" She says, "Oh, we're going on that trip." She says, "We'll just go out to eat or something, and that'll be enough." And so she's over there, and she's cooking, and then she got an idea, and she says, "There better not be anything on my front yard." I said, "No, there's nothing on your front yard. Don't worry about that." "Well, that's because it was on the front yard of the church." And we pulled around. I knew it was coming. We pulled around the corner, and there was this 8-foot giant ape standing on the front yard of the church house, holding a big sign that said, "Happy 33rd birthday, Ida." She liked to kill him. She called him some names I can't repeat. He loves to give gifts. But you know, the truth is about a gift is nobody really deserves it, do they? We get it as an expression of our love. We give it to show how much we appreciate somebody. We went to a birthday party yesterday for my friend Alistair that I've talked about before. Alistair McKenzie turned 85 yesterday. And so we went out and had dinner with him last night at the Tony Roma's Rib House there in Hamilton. And then we went back to his house, had some cake, and we gave him a little fancy pen in a box, you know, just a little token gift. But others brought gifts, and what a blessing to receive a gift. But we never deserve a gift. We really shouldn't even expect a gift. As a matter of fact, as he opened those gifts last night, he pulled the card open, we opened, and he saw the card, and we gave him a gift. He says, "I didn't expect anything. I just wanted you to come." You see, you shouldn't expect, but that's the wonderful nature of this gift. You don't deserve it. We shouldn't expect it, but God gave it anyway. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. We got even with Gary, by the way. For his 50th birthday, we found a thing on the internet where you could send a picture in, and they would carve a bobblehead doll. And it looked just like him, and they put it on the body of a donkey. So that worked out well. Ephesians chapter 2. "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all, every one of us, had our conversation in time past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." That is what we were. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, I put in my column on the side, we had a regrettable past. We were lost in sin. We were children of disobedience. Now look in verse 4, we see redemption's power. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved." That's redemption's power. And then we see we're exalted to a royal position. Verse 6 says, "And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Jesus, through Christ Jesus." Now, the Bible says we had a regrettable past, and the Bible says we can see redemption's power, and these people in Ephesus had been exalted to a royal position. God had saved them, and now they could sit in the heavenlies together with Christ Jesus. But here's why. Because they were a rescued people. The Bible says in verse 8, "For by grace are ye saved." Now that word grace is almost identical to the word gift in Romans 6:23. It's unmerited favor. It's something we do not expect nor deserve. But God gives it anyway. "For by grace are ye saved." Now don't leave this part out. "Through faith." Each one of us are confronted with a decision. You must put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and in Him alone for salvation. You say, well, you know, I'm trusting Jesus Christ, but I'm also... No, it doesn't work that way. If you're trusting Jesus Christ and also something else, you have not given Christ your entire heart. You have not put your faith in Him alone. Sometimes we think we need backup plans. No, you need Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works. Not of works. There's nothing you can do. It's about who you trust, lest any man should boast. You know, God just wants you to give that gift today. All you have to do is take it. He will save you by His grace if you'll just come and receive by faith that gift. For the wages of sin is death. The funeral we went to last Monday, our friends were there as well. The father got up to say a few words about his son. And he began to exalt some of the things that he had done in his life. And almost without exception, all of them were sin. He was quite a talented artist, but it was all graffiti. He'd paint the schools and the bridges, and he got arrested for it a couple times. His fiance got up, and she began to talk about a wonderful person he was. And she says, I always love tipping a bottle with you. Just thing after thing. The drugs and the alcohol, the sin in his life, is what took his life. The wages of sin is death. But the good news, friends, is the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let me say this. You say this young man that you're talking about, preacher, he was into drugs and he was into alcohol and he was into all kinds of things. And there's no doubt that that sin will lead to death. There's no doubt that that bottle will kill you. There's no doubt that it'll destroy families. It is no doubt that that drug addictions will take your life. You know that all manner of sin will take your life. You may not die in a drunken accident on a road, but sure enough, it'll get you. Sin will destroy your life like a canker. It'll just worm its way through your body. It'll destroy your mind. It'll destroy your soul. And because God is long-suffering, because God is not willing that any should perish, we laugh at a verse that says the wages of sin is death, and we eat, drink, and be merry. But you can bank on it, friends, the wages of sin is death. It may not get you today, but it'll get you eventually. Let me tell you something that is instantaneous, the gift of God. Sin may not kill you today, but the gift of God will save you today. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For by grace are you saved through faith. Would you trust Him today? Let's pray together. Father, help us as we consider these thoughts today. Father, I believe that for the wages of sin is death applies to saved people too. Our soul might be saved and we might be heaven bound, but sin in this life can kill us. It can destroy us. So, Father, help us to consider your word today. Maybe there's somebody here today that's not saved. Somebody that today is lost in their sin. They are separated from God. They're already dead. And God wants to quicken him, make them alive. Father, would you speak to their hearts and save them today, we pray. Father, bless our invitation time. Speak to our hearts, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Nobody's looking around.